My prayer is that God's grace and his peace and his mercy would be yours in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's my first question to you folks. If you took a survey of most Christians and asked them, when was heaven opened to you? If I asked you, when was heaven opened to you? If you hadn't heard the introduction about all the water, what do you think your first response would have been? Probably at the death and resurrection of Jesus, right? I mean, that's when heaven was opened. Most Christians would probably say that. Across all denominations, that would typically be the response, and they wouldn't be wrong. At the death and resurrection of Jesus, the work to save you was completed. Satan was defeated, his kingdom crushed, and heaven was open to you. That's what happened there. The rift between us and God, caused by our sin, is overcome by God in Jesus, and so in him, heaven again is open to us. But today in the gospel reading, we heard kind of an amazing thing. It said when Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened. Now, they weren't opened to let the Holy Spirit out. God is not a prisoner of heaven, right? The Holy Spirit can come out anytime, so why were the heavens open? They weren't open so that you could hear the Father's voice. If God wants you to hear his voice, you'll hear it. So why were they opened? They were opened because right there, already, Jesus has begun his death and resurrection for you. His public ministry begins right there. In the waters of the Jordan, he is already taking his place with us sinners. He's already taking the sin of sinners on himself. The waters of his baptism really mean that the wood of the cross is not all that far away. Just as the curtain in the temple was torn open at his death on the cross, opening our access to the most holy of holies, opening our access to God himself through the blood of Jesus, so here, heaven again is torn open. His work of salvation, of saving us, has begun. He is giving us access to heaven. That's why the Father is well pleased. He's pleased when his beloved and holy Son jumps right into the mud and the cesspool of the lives we live. He gets into that Jordan not to wash himself clean, because for those of you who've been there, the Jordan still is just kind of a muddy river. It's not the most extravagant thing you've ever seen. So he didn't jump in there to wash his own sins away or anything else like that, right? He's sinless. He's the sinless Son of God. He jumped in to take your sin and your death on himself. He jumped in with us. When your kids jump in mud, especially if you're the one doing the laundry, you're probably less amused with them. You wouldn't say, oh, look how dirty you got. With you, I am well pleased. That typically doesn't happen. But what does his Father say to Jesus when he jumps in the mud with us? With you, I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son. Not only is the Father well pleased, but the Holy Spirit of God descends on Jesus also in the form of a dove. This is the same bird, probably not coincidentally, that Noah used to send out when it brought back an olive branch. What did that signal? It signaled that the death and destruction from the flood were over. A dove now again descends, the Holy Spirit, to show that the death and the destruction of our sin is now over. Jesus has come to clean it up. It's over in this one, this man, now anointed with the Holy Spirit for all of them there to see. He's given the title Christ. Christ is, we have all these words we use in the church that are from different languages. Christ is a Greek term. You know what it means in English? The anointed one. He is the one chosen, not at that moment, chosen from before the foundations of the earth were laid to do this very work to save us from our sins. Now, Jesus' work and ministry for us is not a series of unconnected and disconnected events that unfortunately just sort of end up at the cross, right? That's not how it works. We often look at it that way. We look at the individual accounts in the Bible. We see them kind of as individual events, but they're not. They're all connected. From creation until the last day, there is a plan of God that is being carried out very purposefully. From start to finish, his work for us is a seamless whole. From start to finish, it is a singular work, and it is for us. His work is to recreate, through forgiveness of our sins and a resurrection to new life, to recreate us, to make us something new. That's why he was born. That's why he was baptized. That's why he came and died, and that's why he rose. And in fact, that is why you are baptized. If Jesus' work and ministry for you is in fact a seamless whole, a singular work, then it is a work that is not yet complete because you are not yet home. You see, Jesus isn't content to just sort of generally open heaven and see who gets in. He wants heaven for you as an individual, you. He knows you by name. He wants to save you. So as his public ministry begins with his baptism, how does it end? What happens on the day of ascension? What does Jesus tell people to do? Go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teach them to do what I have commanded you. So now with baptism in Jesus' name, in the name of the one true, holy, living, triune God, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when that happens in this little puddle of water we have here, you are being baptized just as if God himself did it for you. You can be sure that God's promise for what you receive there, you receive. It's being done in the stead and by the command of, standing in the place of and by the command of Jesus Christ. When I do that, I'm simply a humble steward of what God has given. Right? The work and ministry of Jesus is this ongoing, continuing event for you that continues, and it's for you. So then, what really happens? What really happens when you're baptized? Well, it's interesting that we have, you know, kind of culturally, we've sort of made baptism, like a lot of what they said, it's something very nice and very sweet, and we're kind of nice that, you know, oh, she's wearing a pretty white dress and she didn't cry too much, and right? And we look at all those things, we forget that baptism, the Bible, is often described as something very violent. Listen to what you heard in the epistle reading. Listen to it. It says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him by baptism into death. That's pretty harsh. We talk about drowning the old Adam in us to death. But then it goes on, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Just as the baptism of Jesus was a defining moment in his life and work and the start of his public ministry, you know what baptism is for you? A defining moment in your life. When you are something new, you don't leave there what you once were. It is a defining moment in your life, and it is the start of your public ministry, of your time to share the truths of God with the people around you. The wages of sin is in fact death. All of us are conceived and born sinful, but right there is where the cost of that sin is paid. And you, really you, do drown and die in those waters. The old Adam in you is put to death, and Jesus joined himself with you so that in his death, you get death over with at your baptism. Right? You died there. We don't think of it that way, but the old sinful self dies there. So you don't really have to worry about death whenever or however it may come, because as a believer, God has taken care of that for you. Not only that, but because Jesus, well, just as Jesus didn't remain dead in the grave, neither do you. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. Right? If you're joined to him in a death like his, you are also joined to him in a resurrection like his. You are raised in holy baptism to a new life, a life that is set free from sin and death, a new life of faith, a new life, not as an enemy of God, but as a child of God, a child anointed by the Holy Spirit and with whom your heavenly Father is well pleased and for whom heaven is open. And this is the important part. That's not just all future talk. That's not all something that's going to happen someday. It's meant to make a difference in your life right now. You know, Luther, when he writes on baptism, often talks about remembering it every single day and cherishing it as something important. It's something that continues in your life all the time. Just as Jesus' work for you continues still, so does his work in you, giving you his Holy Spirit, giving you himself in his body and blood in communion, giving you himself in his holy gospel. All of that is there to strengthen you and the faith that you received at your baptism. And then we live that out in our lives, right? He does that to forgive us our trespasses when we go jumping into the mud puddles of this world, which we just keep doing. But his work then continues through you also as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? Living out that royal priesthood that Peter talks about you belonging to, as we, through all that we do, bring others before the throne of a holy God in prayer, bringing God's word to those, and doing good things as we do that. For the Christian, baptism is, it's not a someday event, someday I'll be saved, or nor is it an I was event. In fact, our response should always be about baptism is, I am baptized, right? In fact, it's an ongoing, continual thing. So that when the devil attacks, and he always does, when he attacks, we don't fear him, we boldly proclaim, you just tell him, I am baptized into Christ. Devil, you have been defeated. When sin overcomes us and assails our conscience and we feel guilty about what we've done, we can say, I am baptized. My sins are forgiven. And when death or distress approach us and the devil tries to make us think, you're not worthy, you know what you've done, we can boldly insist, I am baptized. Heaven is open to me. The one whose sandals even honored John the Baptist was not worthy to untie comes down and right there makes you worthy. Worthy of more than just untying sandals. Worthy of walking into the throne room of a holy God in peace and in joy. That's why we say, I am baptized. Heaven is open to me. My Lord's work for me and in me and through me is not just a series of disconnected and unrelated events. It is for you a seamless, whole, singular work that is meant to make you his own. That's what he does. That's what he gives you right there in this little tiny puddle of water. He gives you the right to say, I am baptized. I am a child of God. That's what you should remind yourself of each and every day, in Jesus' name. Amen.